WLAK 1260 AM Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. A deadly fire still burning on a cargo ship in Newark, New Jersey, docked on the city's waterfront. Two firefighters killed, the fire department in mourning. An emotional fire commissioner, Rufus Jackson, announcing the deaths.
Although this is a difficult fire, it's a different type of fire, they're still willing to put themselves on the line.
The fire is under control, but smoke is still visible, and at least one explosion was reported. A lawsuit against the makers of ghost guns. Philadelphia suing after this week's deadly shooting that killed five people and wounded several others, saying the illegal guns were used. And as summer heats up, a warning about rip currents. Authorities say there have been more than four dozen drownings already this year and at least 800 people rescued over the 4th of July holiday, 300 in Volusia County, Florida, outside Orlando alone. This is ABC News. It's live now, the latest platform to try and take on Twitter. Threads from the company behind Instagram and Facebook, racking up 10 million new users in its first 7 hours. One of the actors on a show that deals with drug use now saying it spilled into his real life.
Singer and actor Dominic Fike admits he was high on drugs while filming last season of HBO's critically acclaimed dramedy Euphoria, which deals extensively with the issue of teen drug use. He tells Apple Music's Zane Lowe that while playing the character of Elliot, he was so messed up he almost got kicked off the show. They had to get him a sober coach, and that didn't work, and asked if they used any of the scenes that were shot while he was high. He said they had to. But he says now he's drug-free and excited to return to Euphoria and film sober. Jason Athenson, ABC News, Hollywood.
And the search continues for the source of the cocaine found in the White House. Sources tell ABC News the Secret Service is now going through visitor logs and surveillance video. Justin Finch, ABC News.
Here's what you need to know in Western Wisconsin. Good morning, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The city of Amory is looking for a new police chief. After months of what he called targeted harassment, Amory Police Chief Steve Heinzel turned in his resignation. Heinzel said that he felt working conditions were intolerable. Social media posts critical of Amory's police department have added up to tens and even hundreds of thousands of views. The city council voted unanimously last night to begin the search for a new chief. Five people were hurt in Sparta at a fireworks show on July 4th when one of the firework devices malfunctioned near the end of the show. Sparta area fire chief Mike Arnold said that a device had burned a hole in a case that had mortars, causing them to tip over and launch at ground level. None of the injuries were life-threatening. And a bus driver in Eau Claire went above and beyond last week when he helped deliver a baby. Jerry Melsness told WQOW-TV that a pregnant passenger asked for help at the city's transit center, and he stayed with her until she had the baby. Melsness said that he'd never done it before, and a city official said it was the first for the transportation department. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
We're live here outside the Perez family home just waiting for the... And there they go! Almost on time this morning. Mom is coming out the front door strong with a double-arm kid carry. Looks like Dad has the bags. Daughter is bringing up the rear. Oh, but the diaper bag wasn't closed. Diapers and toys are everywhere. Ooh, but Mom has just nailed the perfect car seat buckle for the toddler. And now the eldest daughter, who looks to be about 9 or 10, has secured herself in the booster seat. Dad zips the bag closed, and they're off. Ah, but looks like Mom doesn't realize her coffee cup is still on the roof of the car. And there it goes. Oh, that's a shame. That mug was a fam favorite.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Just nail the big stuff. Like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors.
We bleed green and gold. And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
It's go time at Chula Vista. Time for you to discover Wisconsin's most complete resort experience. 200,000 square feet of water park fun. New thrills like zip line racing. 18 holes of classic golf. Wisconsin's number one steakhouse. Hundreds of newly renovated rooms. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Chula Vista Resort is one of the nation's top 10 indoor water parks per USA Today's 2023 Reader's Choice Awards. Find out why at ChulaVistaResort.com.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Tom from Madtown. Welcome, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Heard you talking about Robin Voss, so I called Robin Voss's office and said, yeah, why is DEI so dangerous? And nothing. The guy just stopped talking. I said, hello, are you there? I called him back, and the phone got picked up, and then they didn't say anything. You know, maybe you'll learn something if you listen to The Devil's Advocate.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
Life's been good. 9 minutes after 9 o'clock now on this Thursday morning. Music from Joe Walsh. Hey, Aaron, did you play that song because Joe Walsh is in the news today?
I did not know that.
It was just a coincidence. Well, let me tell you, Joe Walsh is in the news today. It sounds like the Eagles have decided to hang it up, and they're going out on their final tour. Just announced today, and it looks like it's going to be a long tour. Are you an Eagles fan, Aaron?
I haven't gone to any of their concerts or anything, but yeah, I listen to them.
Yeah, their songs are fun to listen to, easy to listen to, classic rock hits, that's for sure. But this is from Variety. The Eagles announce final tour dates, saying this is our swan song. The Eagles, one of the most successful and longest-running acts in the history of popular music, have announced the first of what they say are their final tour dates. After 52 years, more than 1,000 concerts, and over 150 million albums sold, the group has announced the initial 13 dates of their final farewell tour, beginning September 7th in New York City, with more to be added. Interesting that they're starting the tour in New York. You know, a lot of times when bands go out on the road, they'll start in smaller markets and work their way toward the big cities, so that the show is kind of, you know, a little more gelled by the time they get there. But they're starting off in New York. And according to the announcement, the Eagles these days, Don Henley, Joe Walsh, Timothy B. Schmidt with Vince Gill and Deacon Frey will perform, quote, as many shows in each market as their audience demands. The tour is expected to continue into 2025, and Steely Dan, the group's longtime friends and fellow Rock and Roll Hall of Famers, will open the tour, which is presented by Live Nation, as you would expect. Pre-sale tickets and VIP packages will be available starting Wednesday, July 12th for all announced shows. The general on sale will start Friday, July 14th. And some of the dates, they're not coming to Wisconsin yet, but that doesn't mean that they won't. They've got Madison Square Garden is where they're starting. And then they go on to Boston and Newark, Denver. They will be in Indianapolis. So if you're a big Eagles fan, you could go there, or to Detroit. They'll also be in Cleveland, Atlanta, Charlotte, North Carolina, Raleigh, and Lexington. And again, those are just the initial dates. They've got more dates they'll add, and it sounds like they'll add extra shows in any of those cities if the shows sell out quickly, and I wouldn't be surprised if they do. Aaron, did you want to say something? You got that look in your eye like you got something on the tip of your tongue.
Oh, I was going to say that. Is it really going to be their last tour? Do we believe it? How many bands say, oh, here's our farewell tour, we're done, and then they tour that same tour for like 3 years, and then they do another one?
Yeah, we've seen that happen a few times, that's for sure. I wouldn't be surprised if a similar thing happens here. I mean, it may be the final tour, but the tour may last for a couple of years. These guys, like many of our favorite rock and roll guys, are getting a little up there in age. But, I just saw this. If you are anywhere close to St. Paul, the last date on the tour is November 17th in St. Paul at the XL Energy Center. So some of our listeners may have the opportunity to check out the Eagles and on this initial part of the tour. But I wouldn't be surprised if they come back through a few times, maybe hit Milwaukee, maybe even Madison. Who knows? But I know, now personally, I've never seen the Eagles. Okay. I've always enjoyed their music. There are a lot of great songs, classic rock and roll. But one thing I've always heard about the Eagles, even going back to the 1970s, and some people really dig this, that when you go see an Eagles concert, it sounds just like the record. You often hear people say that. And some people really dig it. They just want a live version of the songs that they're used to hearing in the way that they've always heard them. And that's cool. But some people like to go to concerts and see things a little differently. It's like, I want to hear a different version. I want them to mix it up a little bit. What can they do with the song that I've loved for the past 50 years and change it up a little bit? But either way, I'm sure it'll be a good show, especially if Steely Dan is opening the show. So there's your concert news for you. Just a coincidence that Aaron played that Joe Walsh song as we're going into the segment. And by the way, Aaron, do you use Twitter? Are you a Twitter type person? Do you have a Twitter account?
I have one. I pretty much just made it for work in the last couple months here. So I haven't historically been a Twitter type person, but interesting time for me to join. That's for sure.
Yeah. Now, why do you say that?
Just because it seems like it's going down the tubes, because ever since Elon Musk bought it and fired half the staff and seemingly everyone who knew what they were doing, debuting broken features, not really moderating anything, now having a limit on how many posts you can see in a day, all kinds of junk on there. It's just, I hopped on a sinking ship.
Yeah, well, there may be another ship coming along that you could hop onto, because I don't know if you've heard this yet, but well, let me ask you this. I mean, you gave us a list of reasons why you don't want to, or why you might want to think twice about jumping onto the Twitter ship. But, you know, when I think about those things, or when I've thought about those things since Elon Musk took over, I thought, well, why doesn't some other company, you know, especially some big company, just make another Twitter, you know, call it something else, but have a very similar setup so that people can send out messages and broadcast their thoughts and emotions so that other people can read them? Why couldn't somebody else just make a platform similar to Twitter? Well, now it's happened. And who do you think did it? It's the Meta Group. That's right. The ones that run the other platforms,
Facebook,
like Facebook.
Yeah.
And what are you going to say besides Facebook?
Instagram.
Oh yeah, they run Instagram as well. Well, they've come up with an alternative. This is the new Twitter alternative, and I guess since it just launched today, they've already got about 20 million people signed up. So this could be a real threat to Twitter, which is run by the megalomaniac Elon Musk. And he's always trying to switch things up with Twitter these days, looking for ways to make money, even though he's fired most of the staff, as Aaron just mentioned. Well, here's some information for you about the new platform. It's called Threads. What you need to know about Threads: Instagram's new Twitter killer app. So evidently it's connected to Instagram. It says here, Mark Zuckerberg's Twitter alternative is going live. And this was posted last night, 7:05 Eastern time on Vox.com. It says, Instagram's much hyped new Twitter killer app Threads is here. And it looks a lot like Twitter, which is exactly the point. I'll give you a little bit more information about this after we take a quick break. Stick around. You're tuned into the Stu Daniels Show.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
Weather brought to you by Amory Theater and Coffee Bar. Bring your friends and family this week and enjoy these great movies. Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, Cocaine Bear, and the Super Mario Brothers. Amory Theater and Coffee Bar. Learn more at AmoryTheater.com. The Todd Alba Show.
I've been pretty rough on the Joint Finance Committee. I know you're going to give bipartisan praise that you're going to raise the pay for district attorneys and public defenders. You don't get an attaboy for finally saying, we finally heard people cry uncle enough times. You either govern all the time or not once a decade when it's suddenly convenient. So,
but I think we have to at least give people hope once in a while that there is something happening in Madison that is a little bit on the good side.
The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Mainly sunny skies this afternoon with a high of 74. Winds out of the northwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows level off around 51. Tonight, clear skies. Overcast skies tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 76. Daytime highs approaching 77 Saturday with a chance for scattered thunderstorms. Chance for scattered rain showers 82 on Sunday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM. Right now, 60.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn directs WLAK.
Every room, all I want to love you, promise, beneath the halo moon. But you think I should be happy with your money and your name, and hurt myself in sorrow.
Heard that song in a long time. Linda Ronstadt. Silver Threads and Golden Needles. Threads is what we're talking about. And that song kind of fits in with the previous topic, too. We were talking about the Eagles. I don't know if you're aware of this, but the Eagles were originally, before they were the Eagles, they were Linda Ronstadt's backup band. And they said, well, this is going so well. Why don't we just start our own band? And that's how the Eagles were formed, according to legend. But what we're talking about right now is Threads. This is the new Twitter killer, is what they're calling it, Threads. Since Elon Musk took over Twitter, the platform has kind of gone downhill. And a lot of people aren't using it now that had previously used it. And this new alternative, Threads, is now live. You can sign up. You can open an account. Instagram's much-hyped new Twitter killer app, Threads, is here. And it looks a lot like Twitter, which is exactly the point. That's from Vox, Vox.com. And I'll give you a little bit more of this. Many social media users are ready, desperate even, for a solid Twitter replacement, as the app has been going through a particularly rough phase in what many see as its gradual product degeneration under Elon Musk's leadership. Last weekend, the company started limiting the number of tweets people can read, a questionable business decision that was widely unpopular with users. While there are some alternatives out there like Mastodon and Blue Sky, none have grown to surpass Twitter's popularity with a critical mass of politically and culturally influential figures. So, Meta-owned Instagram decided to strike while the iron is hot. The Threads app was initially expected to launch later this month, only to be moved up to this Thursday, and now to today. This article was written, or at least posted, last night. So they're saying that it was supposed to launch later this month. They moved it up to today, Thursday, and then ended up launching it yesterday. The app will start to go live for users in 100 countries, although reportedly not in the European Union. Our vision with Threads is to take what Instagram does best and expand that to text, creating a positive and creative space to express your ideas, Instagram's parent company, Meta, wrote in a company blog post on Wednesday. And functionally, Threads is similar to Twitter, with some minor differences. You can write short posts of up to 500 characters that include links, photos, and short videos up to 5 minutes in length. Your Threads feed will be algorithmic, which means it will be populated by a mix of people you follow and recommended content, much like Instagram is now. And Twitter gives you the option to toggle between an algorithmic and chronological-based feed of only people you follow. But overall, based on early screenshots of the app shared with Vox, the apps look and feel quite similar. The main defining feature that separates Threads from Twitter is that it has decentralized ambitions, meaning that in the future, you should be able to plug your Threads posts into other social media platforms like Mastodon, a very different approach than Twitter, which has been limiting free API access to third-party developers. But the interoperability isn't ready yet, according to Meta. And it's also not what many day-to-day users care about most, which is who's posting on it and how easy it is to use. So how will this new app actually work, and what's it like? And does it stand a real chance to overtake Twitter? To use Threads, you'll have to download it as a standalone app in the Apple or Android store. And then once you have the app, you can log in with your Instagram account and choose to follow the same people you already follow on that platform. This is one of Threads' biggest advantages over other Twitter replacement apps. Over 2 billion people already have a built-in social network on Instagram. So unlike with, say, Mastodon, you don't have to completely recreate your follower base from scratch. The Instagram and Threads worlds are very much interconnected. If you're verified on Instagram, which you can now pay for, that verification will roll over into Threads, and you can cross-post your Threads on Instagram as a story or as a link to another platform. All right, Threads, check it out. Going to take a quick break. You're tuned into the Stu Daniels Show.
Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. A deadly fire still burning on a cargo ship in Newark, New Jersey, docked on the city's waterfront. Two firefighters killed. The fire department in mourning. An emotional fire commissioner, Rufus Jackson, announcing the deaths.
Although this is a difficult fire, it's a different type of fire, they're still willing to put themselves on the line.
The fire is under control, but smoke is still visible, and at least one explosion was reported. A lawsuit against the makers of ghost guns. Philadelphia suing after this week's deadly shooting that killed five people and wounded several others, saying the illegal guns were used. And as summer heats up, a warning about rip currents. Authorities say there have been more than four dozen drownings already this year, and at least 800 people rescued over the 4th of July holiday. 300 in Volusia County, Florida, outside Orlando alone. This is ABC News.
Here's what you need to know in Western Wisconsin. Good morning, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Five people were hurt in Sparta at a fireworks show on July 4th when one of the firework devices malfunctioned near the end of the show. Sparta Area Fire Chief Mike Arnold said the device had burned a hole in a case that had mortars, causing them to tip over and launch at ground level. None of the injuries were life-threatening. After months of what he called targeted harassment, Amory Police Chief Steve Heinzel turned in his resignation last night. Heinzel said that he felt working conditions were intolerable. Social media posts critical of Amory's police department have added up to tens and even hundreds of thousands of views. The city council voted unanimously last night to begin searching for a new police chief. And one person is dead and another person is hurt after a motorcycle crash on July 4th in Sawyer County. According to the sheriff's office, the motorcycle's driver, a 63-year-old man from Siren, tried to avoid two deer on the road but lost control and crashed. His passenger was taken to Hayward Memorial Hospital. The crash happened about 20 miles southeast of Hayward. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm, built for real life.
Hi, I'm Joey Erickson from Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, and here are some events that are coming up in our community.
The Deronda Lutheran Church is holding a multifamily garage sale on Wednesday, July 5th from 1 until 5 p.m. and Saturday, July 8th from 8 till noon. For more details, nuicparish.org. On July 10th, the Indian Head Barbershop Course meets at 7 p.m. at the Government Center on the northeast side of Highway I and Highway 46 in Balsam Lake. If you're a guide and you like to sing, you are welcome. Stop by Michael Park on Wednesday, July 12th, and listen to Sean and Ian Okamoto at 6 p.m. And July 13th through July 16th, it's the New Richmond Fun Fest. Stop on by for some food, beverages, and live music entertainment all of those days.
If you have an event you'd like us to tell others about, let me know. Email me at joey.erickson@civicmedia.us, and we'll tell the community all about it. Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute.
Weekdays from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
me Deacon Blues. Classic Steely Dan for you on a Thursday morning. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, 9:35 right now. 67 degrees in La Crosse. It's 57 degrees in Hayward. Looking for highs today in the mid to upper 70s on the west side of Wisconsin. And just before the break, we were discussing social media. The new social media platform called Threads launched last night by Instagram and the Meta/Facebook company. And so evidently millions last night and today have already signed up for accounts on Threads, and it could replace Twitter as the place to go for people that are involved in journalism and popular culture. What's going to happen? It'll be interesting to see. And one of the issues that is in the news right now is the fact that the Biden administration is no longer allowed to talk to social media platforms. Now, there's been an issue the past few years where conservatives will post things on social media that may not be true, like the 2020 election was stolen and that Donald Trump should be our president right now. And that's misinformation that could lead to dangerous results. So the presidential administration should be allowed to ask these platforms to remove the misinformation, but a Trump-appointed judge blocked the White House from fighting misinformation. And why? Well, the judge is citing free speech concerns. So free speech now covers not only the true things you want to say, but also lies and misinformation. This is from Vox.com, and it's why the Biden administration is no longer allowed to talk to social media platforms. Is this the way it should be? Should social media platforms be allowed to post or repost whatever it is that people are saying, no matter how untrue or malicious it may be? The story starts out by saying conservatives have complained for years that they've been unfairly banned from social media platforms. Now a federal judge is banning parts of the government from communicating with social media platforms. It says here, Judge Terry Doughty, a Trump appointee, issued a preliminary injunction on July 4th as part of a lawsuit over how much involvement the federal government can have with content on social media platforms. It forbids the Biden administration from communicating with those platforms about protected free speech, specifically viewpoint discrimination, for the purposes of trying to remove it, with the judge dramatically saying such actions may constitute, quote, the most massive attack against free speech in United States history. That quote sounds like it was written by Donald Trump. The Biden administration will likely appeal the injunction. It's part of a long-running feud many Republicans have with social media platforms, which they claim disproportionately censor conservative content from what have become public town squares, albeit run by private businesses. Democrats, on the other hand, have complained that social media platforms don't do enough to remove harmful speech and that they go out of their way to favor the right. So how important is the truth? Is it important for social media platforms to allow anything on their spaces, or should they be able to moderate the postings so that they lean toward the truth, if not always being truthful? The story from Vox goes on and says it also comes as social media companies have been reducing their trust and safety teams in layoffs, and in the wake of Twitter's takeover by selective free speech absolutist Elon Musk, who has allowed previously banned speech to proliferate on Twitter. Yeah, these days, nowadays, if you go on Twitter, you can find all kinds of hate speech, speech against different marginalized groups. But that's the way it is now, forbidding government agencies to even communicate with platforms about certain kinds of content removes another potential way for the platforms to mitigate harmful speech, though it also removes any potential pressure those platforms may have felt to comply with government requests. But those same companies don't have a great track record when left to their own devices, which is part of why the government has felt the need to step in this way in the first place. Case began when Republican attorneys general of Missouri and Louisiana, along with a few private parties who feel they were unfairly banned by the platforms, sued the Biden administration last year, accusing the federal government of colluding with social media companies to censor political or politicized speech. Such allegations have been a years-long complaint from the right, but it picked up steam during the pandemic when social media platforms became more aggressive in cracking down on health misinformation. The temporarily censored content related to a laptop that belonged to then-presidential candidate Biden's son, Hunter, a few weeks before the election has also been a particular source of ire for Republicans. The lawsuit was also filed a week after the April 2022 announcement of the existence of a disinformation governance board, which was supposed to be a way for the Homeland Security Department to coordinate its efforts to counter disinformation. Following a great deal of conservative outcry, the board was paused in May and officially dissolved last August. So is misinformation and disinformation dangerous? Well, look at the January 6th insurrection. I think you could say that a lot of the people who've been arrested, the 1,000 or so people, were led on by social media platforms where the former president was telling people to come to Washington on January 6th, it's going to be great, and then telling them that they should go down to the Capitol and change what was going to happen on that day. So is misinformation dangerous? Is disinformation dangerous? By the way, if you have an opinion on this, I'd like to hear what you have to say. You can call us right now and let us know what you're thinking. The phone number is 715-388-7155. And if you want to, you can also send me an email message. My email address is stewmanradio@gmail.com. And Stu, in this case, is spelled S-T-U. So the government has long conferred with social media platforms about content, typically when it comes to threats to security, safety, and democracy. The late 2022 release of the so-called Twitter files showed how extensive those communications can be, which added fuel to right-wing accusations of political censorship. While the government didn't explicitly order legal speech to be removed, and there were instances where companies didn't act on their suggestions, even recommendations to remove or flagging problematic content may reasonably create enough to pressure companies to comply, Judge Doughty certainly thought it was. The Knight First Amendment Institute wasn't so sure, with Executive Director Jamil Jaffer saying in an emailed statement that, quote, "The government needs to be able to govern, and governing requires speech, including speech directed at private actors. But we don't want the government to be able to escape the First Amendment's prohibition against censorship simply by relying on informal coercion rather than formal regulation." Jaffer concluded that the court's order in this case is certainly too broad. It would insulate the platforms not just from coercion, but from criticism as well. The order applies to the Health and Human Services Department, the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, the Office of the Surgeon General, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the Census Bureau, the Justice Department, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, the Homeland Security Department, the State Department, employees of those offices, various members of the Biden administration, and anyone acting on their behalf. These parties are also blocked from communicating or working with outside groups that monitor and research speech on social media platforms, including the Election Integrity Partnership, the Virality Project, and the Stanford Internet Observatory, to try to pressure the platforms through them. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre, who is specifically named in the injunction, said on Wednesday that we're going to continue to promote responsible actions to protect public health, safety, and security when confronted by challenges like a deadly pandemic and foreign attacks on our elections. We certainly disagree with this decision, she added. The order has already had an effect, with the State Department reportedly canceling a meeting with Facebook about the 2024 election on Wednesday and pausing future such meetings pending further guidance. So could it affect the election? Could it affect next year's presidential election? It's a possibility. I mean, if any platform can post or print anything they want to, whether it's true or whether it's disinformation or misinformation, could have a big effect. Obviously, we've seen that many people in this country can be persuaded into believing things that aren't true. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
If you search for tenderness, it isn't hard to find. You can have the love you need to live. But if you look for truthfulness, you might just as well be blind. It always seems to be so hard to give.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed Group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago. And that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
The most elitist scorn towards average people exists within sort of that conservative far right ecosystem.
We're a couple of dudes who used to be Republicans. We were Dwight Eisenhower, Ronald Reagan, Tommy Thompson, Scott Klug Republicans. This Republican Party you got now with Robin Voss and Devin Lemieux, the Republican Party at the top, want to start banning books, for God's sake.
Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
When you take the iconic Wienermobile and you call it the Frankmobile, come on, that is terrible.
The Kraft Heinz Company announced the name change to celebrate the brand's 100% beef franks as the company debuts a new recipe. Well, no more lips and other things, I guess.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast. Mainly sunny skies this afternoon with a high of 74.
Winds out of the northwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows level off around 51 tonight. Clear skies. Overcast skies tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 76. Daytime highs approaching 77 Saturday with a chance for scattered thunderstorms. Chance for scattered rain showers 82 on Sunday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM. Right now, 62.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
About 3 or 4 years ago, and the journey,
Right, 10 minutes away from 10 o'clock now on this Thursday morning. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, the final segment. And Aaron, let me ask you this. Are you a science guy? Were you into science class when you were in school? Did you enjoy doing science experiments?
Yeah, definitely. It was, well, I say one of my favorite classes, but honestly, I was one of those kids who actually liked school. Not everyone does, but I kind of liked all of them. Science was definitely one I was into.
Yeah, if you have a good science teacher, man, science can be a fun class. You really learn how to understand what's going on in our world around us and get some insight as to why things happen the way they do. And one of the things you learn in science class is that if you introduce carbon into a closed system, burnt carbon from fossil fuels especially, it's going to raise the temperature. You know, that happens. And you can even use a balloon if you want to and just introduce carbon into it, and it'll raise the temperature inside the balloon. So this is very basic information. But if you listen to some people, they say, oh, this whole climate change thing, it's a hoax. They just want to take our trucks away from us. And the climate changes all the time. Look how cold it was this past winter. And look how warm it is now. And what do you mean climate change? It's all just a big hoax. It's Democrats trying to take our trucks away. Well, I'll tell you, it's not just a hoax. The Earth, our home, has seen 3 straight days of the hottest days ever. This is a story from CBS News. It says Earth's average temperature remained at a record high on Wednesday, after 2 days in which the planet reached unofficial records. It's the latest marker in a series of climate change-driven extremes. The average global temperature was 62.9 degrees, according to the University of Maine's Climate Reanalyzer, a tool that uses satellite data and computer simulations to measure the world's condition. That matched a record set Tuesday and came after a previous record of 62.6 degrees, which was set on Monday. Not only that, but last month was the world's hottest June since records have been kept, the European Union's Climate Monitoring Service said, according to Agence France-Presse. The month was the warmest June globally, exceeding June of 2019, the previous record, by a substantial margin, the EU monitor said in a statement from its C3S climate unit. Scientists have warned for months that 2023 could see record heat as human-caused climate change, driven largely by the burning of fossil fuels like coal, natural gas, and oil, warmed the atmosphere. They also noted that La Nina, the natural cooling of the ocean that had acted as a counter to that warming, was giving way to El Nino, the reverse phenomenon marked by warming oceans. The North Atlantic Ocean has seen record warmth this year. Quote, a record like this is another piece of evidence for the now massively supported proposition that global warming is pushing us into a hotter future, said Stanford University climate scientist Chris Field, who was not part of the calculations. University of Maine climate scientist Sean Burkle, creator of the Climate Reanalyzer, said the daily figures are unofficial, but a useful snapshot of what's happening in a warming world. While the figures are not an official government record, quote, this is showing us an indication of where we are right now, said National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration Chief Scientist Sarah Kapnick. And NOAA indicated it will take the figures into consideration for its official record calculations, even though the data set used for the unofficial record goes back only to 1979. Kapnick said that given other data, the world is likely seeing the hottest day, quote, in several hundred years that we've experienced, end quote. Scientists generally use much longer measurements, like months or years or decades, to track the Earth's warming, but the daily highs are an indication that climate change is reaching uncharted territory. Some parts of the world saw extraordinary heat waves. High temperature records were surpassed this week in Quebec and Peru. Beijing reported 9 straight days last week when the temperature exceeded 95 degrees and ordered a stop to all outdoor work on Wednesday as high temperatures were forecast to pass 104 degrees. The marks were set in communities that aren't used to feeling such heat. North Greenville, Ontario, turned ice hockey rinks into cooling centers Wednesday as temperatures hit 90 degrees with humidity making it feel like 100 degrees. Quote, I feel like we live in a tropical country right now, city spokeswoman Jill Sturdy said. It just kind of hits you. The air is so thick. Again, this is in Ontario, Canada. Some 38 million Americans were under some kind of heat alert on Wednesday, Kapnick said. Cities across the U.S., from Medford, Oregon, to Tampa, Florida, have been hovering at all-time highs, said Zach Taylor, a meteorologist with the National Weather Service. But according to data from the Climate Reanalyzer, many of the largest temperature anomalies this week was seen over the world's oceans, especially the Antarctic Ocean. Man, I think it's time that we all consider what we personally can do to help with the climate change issue. You can drive less, burn fewer fossil fuels, take public transportation more often, ride your bike, walk, whatever you can do. Every little bit makes a difference. I hope you can stay cool today, and I want to thank you for tuning in. Everybody have a great day. Thanks for listening to the Stu Daniels Show. La, 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 la. La, la, la.
It's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
Consumers everywhere are rediscovering the benefits of buying locally produced food. Not only is it fresher, tastier, and more nutritious, it's also good for the local economy. And did you know the Village Hearth and Artisan Hearth hamburger and hot dog buns and rolls you love are baked right here in the Midwest. With the state-of-the-art bakeries and facilities throughout the Midwest, freshly baked buns and rolls are delivered fresh every day to your neighborhood grocers. Village Hearth and Artisan Hearth buns and rolls, locally baked, delivered fresh daily.
pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albus Show.
Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3.
Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albus Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to Lake Air.
WLAK 1260 AM Amory.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News on.